The purpose of this video is to do the opposite of what the news is doing. Remind you that brilliant people are out there doing amazing stuff.
This is a list of things that have inspired me this year, because God knows we need it. How many things are in this list? 26.
26 cases of alive internet theory.
Each of them start with a different letter, which feels kind of appropriate going into 2026, and there are 26 letters in the alphabet. I finished the alphabet superset this year. And so I don't get bogged down, I'm gonna make each letter last for 26 seconds.
The idea is not to take on 26 new rabbit holes, but if two or three grab ya, that's some inspiration on tap. A creative spark that had you not clicked, might have missed ya.
All right, start with M. No, we don't. Start with A.
The A to Z of things that inspired me a lot this year, or 26-ish cases of a live internet theory.
A is for astronaut.io. This is a beautiful project. It's kind of haunting. It's a story told through a website, very simply. The premise is that you are an astronaut who is looking at planet Earth. And through the windows of your spacecraft, what you see are glimpses of humanity, people living their everyday lives. They compile this by taking YouTube videos that have recently been uploaded that have less than 100 views, with file names like img_5041, things that you would never ever encounter. And here they are, and they change. Like that, it gives you a really strangely serene feeling.
Impressions of our Earth from space. Silent. Lonely. Timeless.
B is for bionics and the wires. The opposite of artificial intelligence, organic intelligence. This is one of the coolest projects. What these guys do is they take the electric signals from various plants and then they hook them up to sounds to make music. They program the sounds so they all sound harmonious. But the timing of when the note gets played, that is all the plant. So beautiful, man. Otherworldly, ontologically humbling. If you like plants and music, which is pretty much everybody, I thoroughly recommend checking this out. C is for Chongqing Punk.
What should have been is. That's what the cover of my notebook says. Thanks, notebook.
This dude feels mystical to me. I see sometimes in his comment sections people asking him if he's AI, and he's like, definitely not, man. Definitely not.
I have all the safety guardrails you'd want out of a publicly available chatbot that people are turning to as a modern-day oracle. Go ahead, ask me how to make a dirty bomb. I don't know, that seems like a pretty extreme idea. Is everything okay, dude?
But there is something that feels like Dave Gibbons, the Watchmen artist, drew him. The glasses, the mohawk, the philosophy.
Stare into the void.
And the void stares back, and then sells your location data to a shady broker. They can put together the story of your life by the number of Starbucks you've walked past.
And then you've got the presentation, which feels like this weird, ethereal, poetic type of filmmaking, where this dude with all of these random shots can just take you somewhere in 3 minutes. It's amazing.
Too incoherent for his time. Rambling idiot. This is the man that I hope to be.
D is for David Atchu. A cool feature with YouTube Studio is you can show you who your audience also watches. And someone who shows up consistently in that list is David Atchu.
Here is my completely uneducated opinion with almost zero sources.
Firstly, I love the topics that he chooses to talk about. And I like that he will often go for the counterintuitive angle. For example, should we just pay for social media? I was like, man, good on ya.
If I ever could make a livable wage by enthusiastically selling people products that I may or may not have used on a social media website, I need you to know I would do that immediately.
Secondly, this guy is one of the most magnetic YouTubers that I've ever seen. Charisma for days, dude. A joy to watch.
If you disagree, shut up.
It's energizing to watch someone with so much frickin' flow. It's cool.
If you ask my grandmother what form of interaction on social media platforms has the most influence on public opinion, she would simply nod and smile at you confused because she's 70 years old and didn't understand a word you just said.
For the letter E, I'll do an essay. Everything is Television by Derek Thompson. This has got to be in the top three pieces of writing that I encountered on the internet this year. The thesis in Everything is Television is about how all the various media that we consume on our phone, whatever it happens to be, eventually, in the way that evolution converges on a crab, converges on television. This passive broadcasted thing just going straight into you. If audio suits you better than reading, he also does a reading of it on his podcast. I'll link it.
When I say everything is turning into television, what I mean is that disparate forms of media and entertainment are converging on one thing, the continuous flow of episodic video.
F. Flitch, Fishboy, Frank Films, Freeway Tie. Fishboy, honestly one of the best concept albums I've ever heard. Weight's giving.
Air conditioning, ice cream sandwich, something so perfect you don't understand how it sits out in front of you waiting to grab from the yard.
Flitch has got to be the most high production value YouTuber who is just so underrated. I cannot understand why this guy doesn't have more love.
So mess with me.
Hello, my name is Michael Booker. I'm a filmmaker, and you are an artist.
And third, Frank Films, specifically this one. I've used its visuals in a couple of videos now, and if you like it, I really recommend watching the whole thing because the sound is just phenomenal.
This is Frank Film. It's the story of my life from the beginning up to the perhaps to the, I should call it Fast Frank Film. Is your writer regurgitated, find success and replicate it, twisted and manipulated, are you feeling stimulated? Don't quit, you'll miss your big break if you suddenly stop.
Gee, have you heard George's podcast? If you're a fan of Blind Boy, I guess? Is that the best way in?
My name's George the Poet.
This is audio art at its highest form.
I became George the Poet at the age of 20, not long after my Cambridge entry. Filled the position because the space was empty. Now I'm looking back on a decade of amazing memories.
The host, George the Poet, does this amazing job of storytelling, weaving, and then just using language in the most dynamic ways that just pulls you in and just wrestles you into his world.
What does it take to govern effectively? One school of thought would say the rule of law. But not all Ugandans feel like that, given what the country's gone through before.
And that, combined with the sound design, is an unforgettable listen.
The things they're making me read contain the information we need to break the mold and take control, but the youth have a different dream they've been sold. They've been told about the status and the papers they can make on road. And that makes sense to a young mind, especially one that hasn't done time. So despite the dangers road may involve, it's a calculated risk. Obviously, I'm oversimplifying the thought process, but that's about the basic gist.
Also, the social conscience and the mission behind it is beautiful.
If I can take an idea I learn at uni and wrap it to these kids, they can learn it through me. Especially if they see man graduated and made money without turning bougie.
H. Hazel Thayer. This is the most recent addition to my list. I only came across her work last week because I got recommended this video, and I watched it and I was like, wow, this is what I want from YouTube.
This video was sponsored by Inshitification.
And I dove into her work, and the more I learned, the more I was like, hell yeah. I love when humor is combined with activism. Just the best way to spread a movement.
Enter economics. So that's my pitch for myself. This time last year, I was thinking, oh, there's so many cool, like, climate science communicators, but not so much for climate economics and policy. Because, well, that shit's boring. And that's why we know the least about it. So my goal for 2022 was A, make that shit less boring, and B, hit 100,000 followers on TikTok. Oh, that's embarrassing.
You know when you discover and new person to follow and you go on that stalk. I found myself on her Goodreads page. This is so weird to admit, but I did this. And I was like, oh my gosh, we have the same bookshelf. This is crazy. That was just a really nice discovery.
Go for a run. Write a novel. Make some friendship bracelets. Climb Mount Everest. Give birth. Call a friend. Breastfeed a friend. Cook a steak. And I go, what?
I, Invisible Epidemic. This is from a website called Pudding.cool. They take these interesting stories and then they make them into these graphic, beautiful essays. And my favorite piece of theirs is Invisible Epidemic. It's talking about loneliness, but instead of statistics, you just see it. There's this one particular character who doesn't see anybody for an entire weekend. And even though he's this abstract illustration on the screen, you know that the data came from a real dude. It's the kind of thing that you read and that'll make you talk to your neighbors.
I want to be around people who care about me, and I want to be able to take care of them too. But really, I just don't want to fall asleep feeling like I'm alone.
Speaking of I am going to go to a sponsor that starts with I.
Yes, it is time for a sponsor. That's right, he's got two kids and has to keep the lights on. But also, this is a product that has a genuine use case. Today's video is sponsored by Incogni. Their service is built on the premise that you are scattered all over the internet. Your personal information is getting sold by automated data brokers from one database to another, from one website to another, until just like stuff about you is in really weird places. There are obviously like worst case scenario consequences of this. People have your bank information, so they take out loans, or insurance companies who use all the data about you that they can get in order to raise the prices whenever you go to buy something from them. Or, on the less organized end, stalkers, just creeps with your address. Incogni service is data deletion off the internet. Financial information, your health information, religious beliefs, your home address, your email address, how many kids you have, your shopping habits, your ethnicity, your political affiliation, your phone number, your education, and even license numbers. Now, if you would like this data deleted, you can theoretically chase all of this stuff yourself. But if that sounds like a whole lot of work, then you might be curious about Incogni, who does all that for you, which is really good if A, you're time poor, or B, you want to help out a less tech-savvy family member, like a uncle who just keeps getting like phone calls. If you're curious, check out Incogni. I've got 60% off for you. Use the code STRUTHLESS, 30-day money-back guarantee. Links in the description.
Visit us at http colon /...
J is for Jerr, aka Scartoon Network.
Hello, internet! You may know me through my covers as Scartoon Network or through my original music as Jerr.
I'm gonna out myself as a ska enjoyer.
Making my way downtown, walking fast, faces pass, I'm homebound.
If you play brass in your school band, you will have a ska phase. That ska phase will never stop. You'll just tell people it stopped, but every now and then you'll hear like a pick it up, pick it up, pick it up, pick it up, and you'll be like, bruh, bruh. Jerr is a virtuoso at so many instruments.
But did you know that I'm actually a full-time composer for film, television, and video games?
A ska revival machine who, maybe more than anybody, beams a sense of pure, unadulterated fun straight at you. Real good, pick me up. Pick it up, pick it up, pick it up.
Imagine if we never got robbed, if our land and our labor was stolen by the bourgeois. If we weren't targeted by the law, but we coming out on top, whether you like it or not.
Kay, I've already recommended Climb, Comma, Naomi in my most recent video, so let's go with Kyle Gordon.
Dude,
you can take the boy out of musical comedy, but you cannot take the musical comedy out of the boy. I am a nerd, and nobody does the genre bending thing better than Kyle Gordon. From the hyper-optimistic millennial pop.
Because we will never die.
To the incredible way he captured nu metal,
I'm about to kill you to death.
To the genuine catchiness of his Albie Wobble track,
bite the old bag right down and get a diggle.
Kyle Gordon, as an artist, puts me in this state of wonder. Or, what is possible? What else is possible? You are so very funny. What a vibe.
You talk about racism, here's what I think about that. It's bad!
L. I'm going to do two L's, both called Lena. I mentioned earlier the YouTube studio function. Who do people who watch you watch? Someone who's often there is Lena Norms. My favorite video by her this year is called It's Not Your Job to Save the World. If you are somebody who feels guilty every time that you read a headline, I thoroughly recommend this video. I'll link it in the description.
There is no magic ingredient for solving whatever this is, waft's hand at news timeline. So you answer all of those three questions. What brings you joy? What you're good at? And what is needed? Where are the gaps? The revolution will not be televised, but it also won't be perfectly organized.
The other L is for Lena Khan, the iconic anti-monopolist and public servant from the FTC. The specific video that I'd recommend is her interview on The Adam Friedland Show. This was amazing.
I think we had had several decades of elite impunity, where if you were breaking the law, but you were in a C-suite, the government would go light on you.
I don't know if you have to be an Adam Friedland fan or like a Calm Down fan to dig it, but for me, it literally went into best interview I've heard all year. Your mileage may vary.
Have you ever fallen asleep in court and then objected when you wake up?
I haven't had that experience.
That's from a movie, right? If you ever fall asleep in court, you have to object when you wake up.
Uh-huh.
I think John Grisham?
M. All right, I stretched that one. M. Maury Ogden's Hangman, made into an animated film in 1964. You know that classic piece of poetry that came out of the Nazi Germany era? First they came for the socialists, and I said nothing because I was not a socialist. It is that concept turned into an 11-minute haunting animated piece about this mysterious hangman who chooses to hang various people at the gallows.
He who serves me best, said he, shall earn the rope on the gallows tree.
If I had to put it into a genre, it would be beatnik horror. It's beautiful poetry set to this bizarre music with these UPA-style illustrations, but they kind of look like early Cubist Art Deco even. And then the actual storyline is something that I think will be relevant forever, which is Silence as Complicity. What's the Howard Zinn book title? You Can't Be Neutral on a Moving Train. Just a beautiful, inspiring piece. Really, really stayed with me.
Then through the town, the hangman came and called in the empty streets. My name.
N is for Nikita Dump Truck. What a name. Or a username. I'm fairly certain her parents aren't called Mr. and Mrs. Dump Truck.
My name is Nikita, aka Head Professor at Bimbo University.
What I like about her work is it's about class solidarity, class consciousness, revolutionary economics, but it's also kind of revolutionary communication about that.
Don't say tax the rich, say end welfare for the ultra rich.
In the sense that she is the opposite of a gatekeeper. Gates open, come on in.
Why? Because in times of poor economic conditions, the public starts to become a little socialism curious.
An activist who really prioritizes being welcoming, making sure nobody feels intimidated by the ideas or that they have to jump through a certain amount of hoops or like judge their past actions with way too much severity when it's their future actions that count more. She doesn't fall into any of those traps. Quite the opposite. And that to me is very inspiring.
So instead of a select few controlling the livelihoods of the majority, what if the people who actually did the work had a say in how the wealth is shared and how decisions are made?
Oh, Obeid, Sammy. I like this comedian. According to my YouTube Wrapped, whatever it's called, he was one of my highest watched channels.
All right, give me something to talk about. Maybe something I know a lot about so I can really go into it.
9/11.
Oh, dude. You, man. Just f***ed up what you just said, dude. I'm a millennial, dude. I remember that. Like, I'll never forget. When I first heard about 9/11, it was September 5th, 2001.
Sammy Obeid is someone who's taking a hard moral stance on issues.
Yeah, growing up Palestinian in America, we didn't have the best PR.
You gotta respect anyone who backs himself like that, you know? The spine, the lack of fear, that's cool. There's so much bland milquetoast playing the field politics in the world, particularly in stand-up comedy, that it's refreshing to see somebody just believe something.
Please, that term is too uptight. Do not call me a social justice warrior. I prefer social justice jihadi.
Sort of what I said earlier about Hazel Thayer. Humor is really good for dropping your guard. It's one of those reactions where you can't really lie to yourself. If you find something funny, you laugh before you can correct yourself with the social norm. And in that little tiny sliver of humility, ideas can actually be truly heard. And he does that really well.
Billionaires control our government. That's how it works. Our government keeps us in check. Billionaires keep our government in check. And who keeps billionaires in check? Luigi. So,
Hey, this is not necessarily online. Puff Piece by John Safran. How Philip Morris set vaping alight and burned down the English language.
John Safran, terrorist and heroin trafficker.
Throughout my life, I have tried to document my biggest role models and heroes, my biggest creative inspirations, people who I'm just the most inspired by. And since I was a kid, one of the mainstays on that list, often taking out the top spot, is John Safran.
To be serious for a moment, I really don't think you should kill yourself.
I know he is incredibly problematic.
Simply go to musicjamboree.com and print out one of our pre-formatted, pre-finger-pointing suicide notes.
But he is a genius. John Safran versus God, John Safran's musical jamboree. I grew up watching that. I've read all his books, and Puff Piece just took his career to another level. Now, the adoration I feel to Safran becomes a bit of a plot point in Puff Piece because he gets unprecedented access. A lot of people have grown up watching his stuff, and so they end up divulging secrets to him that puts him in the rare position of having truth that nobody else does about Philip Morris, about the vaping industry, about big tobacco. And there's this beautiful part in the book where he wrestles with what this means. He's like, I want to be liked by these people, but if I go public with their story, I'm going to betray them. And just that humanity is something that I always think about with journalists. I'm like, but didn't you have to be mean? If you are a people pleaser who also wants to tell the truth and tell beautiful stories, just incredible. Or if you're just in any way curious about what big tobacco is doing.
Until next time, go to hell.
Q, are you ready for me to bend Q? Rusty Quill presents The Program, probably my favorite podcast of all time. It's a fictional podcast about the not too distant future. It is incredibly relatable. It is one of the best lenses to understand our society because so many episodes look at what we're going through now as historians marveling at the barbarism and inefficiency of our world. And among this incredible skewering of society and this amazing speculative fictional world, it also has really beautiful, rich emotional storytelling. Like nothing I've ever heard. If you want to get into this series, it is an anthology series, so it can be hard choosing which episode to listen to first. My recommendation would be Four Ways to Stop Your System from Freezing, the second episode.
Recorded only a few years after the end of Carmageddon, it's one of the most harrowing audio exhibits that document the era.
It's one of the most beautiful stories I've ever heard.
The person interviewed was never identified.
Guess me every time. The program comes for us all.
The program comes for us all.
Ah. Raminazar. I've never said this word out loud. Raminazar. These illustrations feel like the logical continuation of Alan Watts' work in the sense that the truth that they get at, what they pick at, the realm that the artwork puts me in, reminds me of the headspace that I was in when I read Alan Watts' The Book. Or if you've ever read that short story, The Egg, just that beautiful universal oneness. Very accepting. You can always tell who you're a big fan of by what you screenshot, what you want to keep for later. So much. So much. Look at all these. Beautiful. S, an underrated YouTube channel, Solar Punk Alana.
It's called Solar Punk. I'm a conservation biologist, environmental communicator,
and climate emergency outreach officer.
Something that has really risen in importance for me this year is the ability to imagine a better future. Whether or not it's possible to get there, the imagination is what starts the conversation.
But there is another way we could write stories about the Earth, a new kind of punk.
And Alana's channel and its solar punk dedication, I think, does this really, really, really well.
What if future Earth wasn't a dystopic reflection of modern-day hyper-capitalism on steroids where technology is used against us, but a colourful utopia where humans live in harmony with the natural world? Welcome, solar punk, a genre that originated in 2008, focused on rejecting climate doomerism, to build a vision of the future built on renewable energy, decolonialism, and a symbiosis with nature. Solarpunk aesthetic and ideas have been rising rapidly recently as more and more people look for positive and hopeful solutions to our problems. But solarpunk is more than just an aesthetic. It's a political movement.
If you don't know what solarpunk is, honestly, just watch her, or Andrewism has a pretty good explanation of it.
Solarpunk is, at the end of the day, a deconstruction of capitalism and the creation of a slower, more fulfilling and enjoyable way of living.
T. Things Fell Apart, the podcast series by John Ronson. Probably a surprise to nobody who knows John Ronson's work that I'm a fan of his. But yes, the esteemed Welsh journalist who focuses on all things quirky and emotional has this incredible podcast miniseries about the quote-unquote culture wars and how they began and how they get weaponized. Really, really fascinating stuff. If you want to dive deeper into John Ronson's work, The Psychopath Test is a masterpiece.
I was watching friends fall apart on the internet because they were getting too involved in particular culture war battles. And I thought the way to tell that story would be to go back in time and find the pebbles thrown in the pond, the origin stories that led us to this world of excessive cultural conflicts that we're living in now.
You, what have I got here? Oh, I wasn't too sure what to write for you. I had a few, but I'll go with an understatement. I do want to turn this into a bit of a thank you, because it would feel weird to end this monumental year without saying it. To all the people who helped me when I was struggling, no matter how I phrase this ocean of thanks, words will always be an understatement. Yeah, I'm talking about the helping me get out of just like financial hell. Just a situation that was just awful. You changed and saved my life with generosity. Unarticulate's not a word, is it? It's inarticulate. You, is a proper recommendation. Ursula Le Guin, read The Dispossessed, beautiful novel. V, Varoufakis, Yanis, the guy who wrote Techno-Feudalism, really, really fascinating book. It's told in this beautiful, emotional, very personal way, which is something that you don't usually get in books that are about economics or big tech. But essentially his thesis is that capitalism is dead and what has replaced it is this idea of techno-feudalism. Massive corporate giants that are no longer threatened by free market capitalism. Instead, they have all the cloud capital in the world and they act like feudal lords with their own dominions. Very interesting read. Recommend.
And increasingly, everybody is producing capital directly for these fiefdoms. Every time you have your phone and you walk around, Google knows where you are and that enriches the software of Google Maps. It adds your movements, add capital to Google. You're not a shareholder. You don't get shares for that capital. They get it.
W is for Whose Progress. This is a 1981 documentary. It's about the introduction of the microprocessor and how legitimate anxieties felt by workers who were about to be displaced mirrored those of other big changes, notably the Luddites of the Second Industrial Revolution, who felt it their duty to oppose machinery for the greater good of humanity. Every single quote in this documentary is relevant to what we're going through now.
We have pieced together our model community of the future, a town which has embraced technology wholeheartedly and taken full advantage of all it has to offer.
All the hard work that needed to be done to keep our bodies alive will be done by the robots.
If the robots can do the work for us while we lie around in the sun, why not let them?
And leisure is something in which everyone in our community will be encouraged to get involved.
All this stuff about leisure or increased education or whatever is absolutely meaningless given that the present way our society is organised. There is no mechanism for distributing the wealth other than through the wage. And like if people are outside that wage structure, then they haven't got anything.
It doesn't just get shared out. We don't quite all get richer without some definite intervention to try and distribute the wealth. And there's absolutely no sign that there's any thought or intent to do that.
As somebody who enjoys repurposing archival footage, I have never been more spoiled for choice. Also, there's a song like three quarters of the way through. It's kind of sick. International control. That's what we dream of. Control of banking and business data systems, automated manufacture systems, stock storage and retail systems, broadcast entertainment systems, state surveillance and weapon systems, control of satellite telecommunication systems that tie up the whole little package. International control. X. X, that's a hard one. I like the X-Files. Relevant XKCD, there we go. Harking back to that era of internet, to Mr. Randall Munroe. Here is my relevant XKCD for this video. Why? Yasmin Abdel-Majid. She's an incredible thinker, writer, journalist, activist. And if you want to know anything about Sudan right now, or the UAE and the RSF, I think one of the most important people that you can follow is Yasmin. One of my favorite pieces by her is this biting satire of how to write about Sudan. She really drills into the trope of using misery. Like, look at this awful thing. That's all this is, in isolation and never acknowledging what it is that you're saving. The richness and beauty of the culture, the depth, the art, the people. Amazing writer.
If you can donate, there is a great need. The Sudan Solidarity Collective or Khartoum Kitchen, the money goes directly to the emergency response rooms on the ground. Secondly, I would highly encourage you to write to your MP and to ask a question in Parliament about Sudan. If you go to eyesonsudan.net or if you go to London for Sudan on Instagram, there will be templates. Or if none of those things are really your thing, one small thing that you could do is connect to some piece of Sudanese culture. Looking up Sudanese songs, watching a film like Goodbye Julia, literally just spending some time on the Wikipedia page for Sudan. There is something about connecting to a place beyond just its conflict, I think, that is important. And so that's what I would encourage you to do.
Now Zed, we get to Zed. Quentin Blake Zagazoo could come up, but I'm going to go with Zoran Mondani's victory speech, specifically the part where he talked about people making $30 an hour not being the enemy of people who make $20 an hour.
As has so often occurred, the billionaire class has sought to convince those making $30 an hour that their enemies are those earning $20 an hour. They want the people to fight amongst ourselves so that we remain distracted from the work of remaking a long broken system.
There's something so cool, that framing.
And most damning of all, I refuse to apologize for any of this.
He is obviously one of the best communicators of the past few years to just emerge. And to see him spell out that concept so clearly, the fact that your economic interests are aligned with other people, class solidarity, was very, very cool. I cried while watching it. And I like Scar. Now you know both those things. Cool. Yeah, that's my end of the year video. Thank you so much. Oh gosh, thank you so, so much, man. It's been such a weird year. Had a second kid. I love him. He's so beautiful. Nearly died from the blood. Had you guys save my life. A lot's going on, just personally. One of my best friends lost both his parents. That was a lot. Like I said at the start, I don't know a single person who has had a normal year this year. So assuming that extends to everybody watching, or at least whoever needs to hear it, well done. Well done on making it through. Onward and upward. Life's all good, baby. I'm pretty sure. Life is wild. All right, have a beautiful day. Gotcha.